I want you to picture the scene before me tonight. You're walking along an old country road and there's thousands of other people walking alongside you, and you come to a dead end and you stop. And at the dead end, at the end of that road, there are two gates, one on the left side and one on the right side. One gate is very large. One gate is very narrow. And as you gaze at that large gate, on the other side you see a wide road. It's well worn. The road looks pleasant. The road looks easy to travel on. And what's more, the majority of those thousands of people that are tramping along with you, they're heading that direction. They're going through that wide gate. It's very tempting. Very tempting to go that way and to follow the crowd. After all, everyone's going that way. The majority are going that way. And surely the majority can't be wrong, can they? Then you look at the other gate, and it's narrow. In fact, it's so narrow that only one person can go through that gate at any one time. And on the other side of that narrow gate, it's a very narrow path. Again, it's so narrow that only one person can walk this path at a time. It looks very difficult. It looks hard. It looks to be unsteady, and it's going to take hard work to walk along this path. And there's not many people going this way. It looks too difficult, too hard. And you stand there looking, gazing at both gates, and you're wondering, which one should I take? Should I go with the majority? Should I go through the wide gate, go down that easy road? Or should I go the hard way, through the narrow gate? All of us have that choice to make tonight in this meeting. We have to enter through one of those gates. We have to walk along one of those paths. And in fact, tonight, some in this meeting have already made that decision. Some have entered that narrow gate. Some are walking along that narrow path that leads to eternal life. You've already made that decision. You're already well down that road, well down that path. It's been a well-trodden path for you. Others may have gone through that wide gate. And tonight you're walking along an easy road, a wide road, a broad road. But that broad road will bring you to eternal destruction. But the good news of the gospel is it's not too late. It's not too late to change direction. It's not too late to change path. If you've entered the wide gate, you can turn. You can come back. And you can enter through that narrow path and start on it that leads to life. You can make that U-turn in life. You know, as you drive along the road, and many roads you can't make a U-turn on. You go up there to Seven Oaks and you have to go on up the roundabout. You can't turn and back down the road. You can't make a U-turn. It's against the rules. It's against the law, but not with the gospel. Rather, with the gospel, you're commanded to make a U-turn. You're commanded to change your ways, repent, and go in the opposite direction. Leave your sin behind and head in a new direction, head of a new life, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your life changes. You make a U-turn. And here in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus is making a series of contrasts. He contrasts the two different gates, the wide gate, the narrow gate. Two different ways, the broad way and the narrow way. Two different companies, the many and the few. Two different destinations, life or death, heaven or hell. And then he contrasts two different kinds of trees. He talks about the good tree and the bad tree, bearing two different kinds of fruit, the good fruit and the bad fruit, with two different results, being kept or being cast into the fire. He speaks of two different men, the wise man, the foolish man, two different houses with two different foundations, the rock and the sand, with two different results. Either stands or falls. And do you see what Christ is doing here? He's warning the sinner. He's telling us to stop. And it's like that road sign that tells you to stop, danger. And he's warning us about the destruction that awaits us if you do not change, if you do not make a U-turn on the path you're on. Verse 13, he said, "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Verse 19, "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Verse 27, "The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Warning after warning after warning. And he's saying here, take heed, sinner. Take heed, take heed, take heed. Listen to what I'm telling you. But then at the same time, At the same time as he's warning, he's holding out a promise of life. Verse 14, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it is founded upon a rock. What's Christ speaking of here? What is he getting at? Well, he's speaking about heaven, and he's speaking about hell. He's talking about experiencing eternal glory in heaven of him, and then the delight of God's presence, or experiencing eternal punishment and damnation in hell. You see, make no mistake about it, friend. There are only two destinations in life. Oh, the Roman Catholic speaks of purgatory, but there's no such place. The Jehovah's Witness talks about the people being annihilated. When you die, that's the end of you, unless you're a part of the 144,000 that they believe in. But the Bible tells us something different. The Bible says there are two destinations, heaven, hell, life, death. And notice who escapes hell and who goes to heaven. It's not those who said Jesus is the Lord, verse 21, or those who hear Jesus' words, but rather those who both hear and act on his words. There's a difference. You see, many people are deceived. They think they're going to heaven. And in reality, they're going to hell. And that may be you in this meeting tonight. You may think you're going to heaven, when in reality, you're heading for hell. And if you carried out a survey in Londonderry tonight, and you stopped the people on the street, whether they're religious or not, and you asked them, are you going to heaven when you die? I would say the majority that maybe 99% would probably say, yes, I believe I'll be in heaven. No one would actually say, very few would say, I'm going to be in hell. However, the Lord said, many would go to destruction. Many would go to destruction, while only few find life. And if Christ is right, then we are wrong. And the majority of this world are not going to heaven. Only a small portion of the world's population, compared to the whole of the world's population, will find life in Christ. The sad thing is, the majority of this world, the sad thing is, the majority of this city are headed for destruction tonight, headed for hell. And if Christ is right, then most people are wrong. Many are self-deceived, but God doesn't want you to be deceived. That's why he gives us warning after warning after warning. He wants you to know. He wants you to stop. He wants you to make a U-turn. He wants you to repent. He wants you to hear. He wants you to listen to what's been said. Stop. Listen. You see, I'm not here to tickle your ears or tell you what you want to hear. I'm here to preach God's word. So I want to consider for a few moments tonight, in verses 13 and 14, the question, on which road are you travelling? On which road are you travelling? Notice firstly the two gates in our text. The two gates. Firstly, there's the narrow gate. What is the narrow gate spoken of here? Well, I believe the Lord gives us the answer to that question in John 10, verse 9, where it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Christ himself is that narrow gate. He is the entrance. And why is the gate narrow? Because there's only one way. There's only one way to be saved. There's not two ways or 10 ways or countless ways. He said, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one way. It's a narrow way. Peter said, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now that's not popular. Not popular to believe that today, not popular to tell others that today, not popular to preach that today. Today we hear all roads lead to God, all roads lead to heaven, all faiths lead to God. And if people are sincere in what they believe, well, that's enough. That's enough. You can't tell them they're wrong. You can't tell them that there's only one way to heaven, one way to God. That's not politically correct. And often Christians are accused of being narrow. narrow-minded. You're a narrow-minded Christian. You're a bigot. You're narrow-minded. Well, I'm glad to be called narrow-minded tonight, because Christ said the gate was narrow. If I was told I was broad-minded, I would be alarmed. The gate that leads to destruction is broad, but the gate that leads to life is narrow. But why must a person enter through Christ to be saved? Why isn't it enough to be sincere? Why isn't it enough to be spiritual or religious or moral? Why isn't that enough? Well, the Bible tells us we're all sinners, that we've all come short of the glory of God, that God hates sin, God must punish sin because he's just, he's holy, he's righteous. Sin cannot be in his presence, and therefore sin must be destroyed. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. We've earned those wages. God has justly condemned us because of our sin. We have been paid those wages because we have deserved them. And from the moment we are born, from the very first breath we breathed on this earth, the sinner has been accruing his wages, building up, building up, building up. And in order for us to be saved, in order for us to escape that eternal destruction, we must find that way to get out from under the wrath of a holy and righteous God. And how do we do that? We need our sins cancelled out. We need that huge debt paid for and forgiven. And if we were to live 1,000 lives over and try to live a perfect life until we died, we'd never cancel out that great sin debt that we have built up in our lifetime. The Bible teaches only Christ and Christ alone is able to pay that debt. The Lord tells us, Romans 6:23, it says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And because Christ lived that life that we could never live, because he paid that price upon Calvary, our sins can be forgiven. The wrath of God was poured out upon him, and therefore we can be forgiven. And as we read the scripture, we're told time and time and time again that we must repent. We must turn to Christ, that our good works, our church attendance, all those things will never be enough to save us. You see, there's only one way. One way, the narrow way. One way to God, and that is through Christ and Christ alone. Listen to the testimony of God's word in 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for the many. And how does a person enter the narrow gate of Christ? Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. How do we do that? That's a command. We're commanded to do so. So how do we obey that command? How do we get through the narrow gate? Well, we must be converted. We must be changed. And Christ said in Matthew 18:3, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You think of a child. A child is absolutely dependent upon its parents for food, for water, for shelter, for clothing, for love, for everything. A child depends upon someone for everything. And to be saved, you must depend upon someone. And that someone is Christ. You must stop trusting in your own righteousness. You must stop trusting in yourself. And you trust Christ for everything, just like a little child trusts in their parents. We enter through repentance and faith. Christ said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And many today don't believe in repentance. They talk about faith and maybe trusting in the Lord and Christ and about God's love. But no one speaks about repentance, leaving your sin behind, making that U-turn that we're warned about, changing direction completely, leaving your sin behind and coming and trusting and believing on Christ. Is it easy to enter this gate? No. Remember what Christ said, few there be that find it. He said in Luke's Gospel, in the chapter 13, verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. You see, no one strolls into the kingdom of heaven. Christ told us to strive. The Greek word for strive means to agonize, to groan. And if we are to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must strive. And the narrow gate gives us that vivid picture of someone before a small opening in a wall. Perhaps it's not easily noticed unless one looks for it with diligence. And there it is. It's small. It's constricting. It's narrow. And to pass through this gate, you must leave everything behind you. You can't carry any baggage with you, nor can you carry anyone else with you. You must go alone. You leave all your baggage behind. You leave all your sin behind. The wide gate's different. You can take all with you down the broad road, but the narrow gate, it's narrow. It's constrictive. It's an uncomfortable gate. One that claims everything in your life. You must go through alone. Empty-handed. On your hands, on your knees. Stripped of your baggage. Your grip loosened from all those things that you crave to hold on to. You can't take your idols with you. You can't hold on to your sins. You must leave it all behind as you enter through that narrow gate. Oh, my friend, tonight, are you willing to abandon everything that would hinder you from entering into eternal life? What hinders people? Well, often it is self-righteousness. Often it is idols, sin. That's why repentance is so necessary tonight, that you must leave it all behind you. You must say goodbye to the old life. You must be willing to give up those things that you love, that you might take Christ and he would have first place in your heart. The narrow gate. Look at the wide gate. If the narrow gate is repentance toward God and faith in Christ, then the wide gate is every other way that people try to approach God. And please notice that those who enter the wide gate believe they're going to end up in heaven. The wide gate doesn't symbolize all those who are headed for destruction, like the murderers or the terrorists or those who commit the vilest of crimes. All in this path think they're headed for heaven. Notice verse 21 to 23. Christ said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And these people on this broad road that claim to have prophesied in the name of Christ, that claim to have cast out demons, claim to have done miracles in his name, and they thought they were on their way to heaven. However, they end up in hell. And those who enter the wide gate think they're going to heaven, but they're deceived. They're deceived. How often people are deceived in this world today. And maybe tonight in this meeting, you're deceived. Maybe you've sat here for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, I don't know how long. And you're deceived. You're trusting in your own righteousness, and you think you're right with God. And maybe tonight you think, you know what, I've prayed, I've read my Bible, I've come to church, I believe the gospel, I believe that Christ died for me, I believe all these things, and I'm ready for heaven. But yet you've never done that U-turn. You've never repented of your sin. You've never trusted fully in Christ. You're depending upon coming to church. You're depending upon your self-righteousness. You see, this wide gate is wide because all who seek to approach God do so from many different ways, many different avenues of life. And they think all paths lead to God. How sad and miserably they are deceived. Don't be deceived tonight, dear sinner. Let me say solemnly in this meeting, I wonder if there's one in this meeting tonight and you're living and relying upon a false profession. Maybe there was a time in your life, maybe when you were younger, maybe you made a profession of faith, maybe at a children's meeting or something else, but there was never any fruit in your life. Never anything to show that you were truly converted. What an awful thing to die. What an awful thing to die. And here Christ said to you, depart. Depart from me. I never knew you. And you'd think back to all those times you sat in this church, all those times you heard the gospel faithfully preached, all those times there was an appeal made for you to turn and trust Christ as Savior, And you stand there. Christ utters those words, depart. And you know there's no hope for you. You know as those words are uttered that you're damned forever in hell. That it's too late for a U-turn. All those warning signs that you've heard, that you've been spoken of, that you've been challenged about. And it's too late. It's too late. And you'll spend eternity in hell forever. Oh, my friend, tonight, I urge you to make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're truly saved. Make sure you're trusting Christ. You're not trusting in yourself or not trusting in this church or anything else. But you're trusting in Christ. The two gates. Notice secondly the two ways. The two ways. Firstly, the narrow way. This is the only way that leads to life. The broad way leads to destruction. And there's no such thing as someone who enters the narrow gate but then walks on the broad way. Every person that has entered the narrow gate walks along the narrow way. And as I said, many people think they're on the way to heaven because they've made a profession at some point. But however, I want you to challenge your own heart. Is there any fruit? The Lord said here, every tree that bringeth forth good fruit, or a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Is there fruit in your life? Let me ask you that. Is there fruit in your life? Is there evidence in your life that you are truly saved? You see, this pathway, they go in opposite directions. Broad road, narrow way. And you cannot straddle roads that are going in opposite directions. It'd be different if they ran parallel of one another. But they go in opposite directions. And my friend, you cannot serve the world and the Savior. There's no middle ground tonight. You're either saved or you're not saved. One or the other. Saved or lost. Child of God or a child of the devil. Why is the way narrow? Because those who have entered the narrow gate find their path constricted. They no longer can do the things they used to do. As I said, they must leave those things behind. The Lord Jesus is now their Lord and Master. They must do Christ's will, not their own. The way of the life of a Christian is different from the way of the life of the non-Christian. A non-believer can choose many different options in life. A Christian can't. And if Christ is truly your Lord, you must seek to do his will. And there should be fruit in your life. There must be evidence that you're truly saved. You see, a true Christian seeks to live a holy life. Without the pursuit of holiness, no man shall see the Lord, the Bible tells us. And you can know if you have entered that narrow way by examining what kind of path you're on. Is it narrow? Is it wide? What kind of life do you live? What do you hanker after? What is your loves in life? Is it the things of God or the things of the world? Do you blend in? Do you look like everyone else in this world? Or do you reflect the character of Christ? Are you different? The narrow way. What about the broad way? Well, here's a road that's both big and broad. It's easy to travel on this road. It has plenty of room. The vast majority of people in this world stay in this road. They love this road. This road is a wide entrance. It's spacious. It's easy to locate. It's easy to travel. There's no limitations as to baggage. You don't have to leave your baggage behind. You can take it all with you. Take as much as you please. You don't have to leave anything behind. To stay on it, all you have to do is keep doing what you're doing. Rejecting Christ. And you'll stay on this broad road. There's absolutely no effort required to stay on the broad road. It's easy to travel. It has few rules. There's no rules at all, in fact. There's no requirements. There's no restrictions on this road. Do whatever you please on this road. Live as you please on this road. Drive as you please on this road. No speed limits. No warning signs. No stop signs. No U-turns. It's an inclusive road. Everyone's on this road together. The adulterer, the drunkard, the drug addict, the murderer. Everyone's on this road. All heading in one direction. Sin is tolerated on this road. In fact, sin is encouraged on this road. Acceptance is elevated. It's a road that most people travel on. It's a road for people who believe in anything or nothing. They believe that one religion is just as valuable as another. Some don't believe there's a God at all. And they all travel happily together down this road, all believing that they're going to end up in the same place, their form of heaven. The agnostic, the atheist, the humanist, the communist, the Jew, the Gentile, the Church of Ireland, the Roman Catholic, the Free Presbyterian, all on this road together, all travelling happily along, still in their sin, still lost, still rejecting Christ, thinking they're going the right way, not willing to get off, not willing to listen to the warning signs, not willing to listen to those who are begging them to stop and make a U-turn. You see, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, be sure, dear sinner, this road, it leads to hell. This road will bring you to hell. How do you know if you're on the broad road that leads to destruction? Well, it's not too hard to figure out. If you haven't gone through the narrow gate of Christ, then you're on the broad road. If you're living with a false profession, you're on the broad road. If Christ is not your only hope and trust for salvation, then you're on the broad road. If he's not your only hope for heaven, if it's found in something else, you're on the broad road that leads to hell. So let me ask you tonight, where are you headed? Are you going to heaven tonight, or are you going to hell? Oh, come to grips with whether you're saved tonight or whether you're lost. Don't go on with the blinkers on thinking that everything will be okay on Judgment Day because you think you're a good person, because you come to this church or go to any other church, or your parents are saved, or your brothers are saved, or your children are saved. What about you tonight? You see, hell's filled with people who had good intentions. Hell's filled with people who had, in their own eyes, good morality, who are self-righteous. Hell is full of people who went to Free Presbyterian churches, and tonight they're lost. They're lost. You see, most people think they're going to heaven because they're good people. They're good people. But yet the Bible tells us that none are good. None are righteous. No, not one. Oh, where do you stand with God tonight? Are you trusting in Christ fully for salvation? Are you sure you're walking the narrow path, that you've repented of your sin, that you're seeking to live a life for Christ? Only those type of people are headed for heaven. And if that doesn't describe you this evening, I urge you to stop. To stop and to listen to the warning signs and to make that U-turn and run to Christ. Fall at his feet and cry out for mercy. That's your first order of business tonight. Take a real good look at your life. Ask God to search your heart. Ask God to search you and find out if you're truly saved tonight. You see, you can't go to heaven clutching your sin. You can't go to heaven still living a life on the broad road. God is holy and God is perfect. God will not allow you into his heaven in your sin. Why, I urge you tonight to think upon these things. Think about where you stand with Christ. Oh, you've heard the gospel. I know you've heard the gospel countless times before. But how awful to hear those words. Depart from me. I never knew you. Do you know Christ tonight? Are you walking on that narrow way? Have you entered through that narrow gate? Or are you still running down that broad road to a lost sinner's hell? Oh, I urge you to think upon this. Consider these things. Think upon where you'll spend eternity. Will it be heaven or will it be hell? May God speak to your heart tonight. May he give you no rest or no peace until you've made your peace with him. Let's total meeting.